It's been said that necessity is the mother of invention. Well, there may come a time in life when you have to reinvent yourself out of necessity. It may be for a second or two, a year, or maybe the rest of your life, depending on the circumstances. I'm not talking about being a poser, a con man, or a common bullshitter. The world has enough of all of those. What I'm talking about here is reinventing yourself so as to give someone who is down a hand up, or in this case, a hoof up. It all started the day the wild herd of horses showed up in our neighborhood. Well, not really wild, just unattended. Maybe like latchkey kids with hooves. This band of unlikely Mustangs were of local stock, Heinz 57 that is, some with brands, some not, but all of them knowing how to forage for food, whether eating the leaves of a prickly Palo Verde or pinching some alfalfa from some lucky horse neighbor. Well, this band found the lucky horse neighbors all right. Blanco and Nino were their names, also of local stock, but benefactored by a gringo couple, one Mr. and Mrs. Robert Pudwell, known to most folks here in Los Barriles as simply Bob and Liz. A hardy couple they were. He was an Alaska fisherman that could fix darn near anything, and she was a rock star, literally singing for a living, and also a restaurateur. Most people in LB knew her talents to both professions and was generally regarded as a rock star of both camps. What they did not know about her was that she could dish it up for the animal kingdom as well, whether nursing a sick animal back to health or just making sure a hungry stray had enough to eat. Liz shouted down at the hill at me to see if I'd check out one of the herd, who we'll call Rubia. When I got closer, Liz described some peculiarities that she had noticed about the small horse. For one, she was a good 100 pounds underweight, which was a lot for a 14-hand mare. She also had a large protrusion on her right lower jaw, which appeared to be oozing something very foul. Skinny as she was, she would not eat a free meal of sweet, yummy alfalfa. Liz managed to catch her up and put a halter on her, and we then proceeded to examine her up close. Immediately, we discovered that she was very sore above the large protrusion and that the tip of her tongue was bloody and jagged. Because of the pain, she would not allow us to open her mouth very far, if at all. Time for plan B. It just so happened that I had an equine dental speculum that I had brought down from the States for some future use. And, well, the future was right now. Ahorita. One might ask, why would a chiropractor have a horse dental speculum with him in Mexico? All I can say is some people collect stamps, a horse guy collects horse gadgets. So between the three of us, we found some ace promazine, a mild sedative, and injected her with it so as to get the horse speculum in the mare's mouth. We inserted the speculum and opened her mouth so that we could have a good look at the situation. What we discovered was that sure enough, the last inch of her tongue was gone and that one of her bottom molars above the abscess was knocked loose but not out. Even with the use of the drugs, she was still extremely sore on that tooth and was suffering greatly. It would have to be pulled. No ifs, ands, or buts. Time for plan C. Plan C was to contact our friend, Dan Treat, affectionately known to us in the hood as Dr. Dan. He was a veterinarian of 20 plus years from Fargo. We asked the seasoned doc for some help in procuring some big drugs. And as it turned out, he had what we needed in his bodega and agreed to give us a hand. On his shelf, he had the drug Rompin, and he guaranteed that it would tranquilize the balls off a charging rhino at 100 yards if necessary. I assured Dr. Dan that there were no rhinos involved in this project, just a small horse. The last thing we needed to execute plan C was a dental extractor, and I did not have one of any species.
Oh, Jesus.
Enter Bob Pudwell, our Alaska fisherman. I described to him what the tooth extractor looked like and drew a crude drawing on a piece of scratch paper. Well, with a welder, some rebar, and a set of old pliers, the extractor was born. It has since been marketed as the Bob Pudwill Equine Tooth Extractor, available at fine stores everywhere. It's been rumored that the proceeds from the mega sales of this fine product is how Rancho La Venta was purchased, but you'll have to get that straight from the horse's mouth. Plan C was coming together. The team was assembled and the components were there. For Rubia's sake, it was time to execute the plan. The team gathered in the surgical theater, also known as the corral. Rubia was in obvious pain, yet could sense that somehow this small herd of humans speaking a strange language was trying to help her. The internationally renowned anesthesiologist, Dr. Dan, started the procedure by asking me, "Dr. Ryan, how much do you think this rhino weighs?" The four of us had a quick discussion about the species of our patient, then all agreed that she was not a straw over 700 pounds. Dr. Dan and Liz carefully measured the amount of big drug to give Rubia and injected it into her vein. The rompin took effect almost immediately. The patient dropped her head, drooled, and started to wobble. Our man Bob was there to hold Rubia's head up on his shoulder, much like Atlas holds up the world on his back. I slowly and carefully inserted the speculum into the mare's mouth, being careful not to bump the sore tooth. Once the speculum was securely in place, and with Nurse Liz holding the flashlight, we again assessed the painful tooth and the cut tongue. We surmised that Miss Rubia had been kicked in the jaw and the tooth knocked loose while the tip of the tongue was in the way and was bitten clean off. Ouch. At any rate, the tongue would heal on its own, but the tooth and abscess would not. "Hang on, Rubia," I thought. "Help is on the way." I entered the lion's mouth, the horse's mouth, slowly, taking aim at the inflamed, painful tooth. Slowly, the jaws of the extractor made contact with the tooth. But even with the use of big drugs, it was very painful to her. The fact that she was a bit wobbly and a moving target, despite Senior Atlas holding up her head, was not working in our favor either. Attempt number two at the tooth was a bullseye. I squeezed the tooth, she jerked her head, and out came the tooth. We briefly cheered, but we're not yet done. The abscess had to be treated, and Dr. Dan and Liz went to work. Out of Bob's toolbox came a rat-tailed rasp. Dr. Dan inserted the rasp into the bottom of the tennis ball-sized abscess and shoved it clear up into the space that the tooth had occupied moments earlier. Immediately, a mass of blood and pus emerged that had a smell that would gag a buzzard. Yuck! The two then packed the hole with gauze soaked in iodine. An hour or so later, as the drug wore off, Rubia seemed content and in much less pain. To my delight, she ate ravenously the next day for the first time in probably weeks. But the story does not end here. 2 days later, she was again off her food and in obvious pain. Time for Plan D. The team repeated the process with big drugs, and upon inspection, discovered that the blood clot in the socket where the tooth was had disappeared completely and was replaced by alfalfa stems, which protruded out through the bottom of the abscess. This is known as in dental circles as a dry socket. Ouch! Not to worry, our team was on this like a duck on a June bug. The dry socket, now filled with alfalfa stems, was flushed out with water from the garden hose. After that, our man Bob procured some underwater epoxy from his toolbox. Now reinventing himself as an alchemist, he mixed up the epoxy with the hardener and applied it to the dry socket of little Miss Rubia and built a dental bridge where the painful tooth had once been. It was another miracle. Miss Rubia was again eating the next day with no problems. In time, her tongue healed, and she had regained her health. From here, the story has a number of rumored endings, such as, Rubia went on to win the Kentucky Derby. Or, Rubia galloped off into the mountains to the music of Born Free to rejoin her wild Mustang companions, never again to be seen. Or, She now is in Gallup, New Mexico, employed as a schooling horse teaching blind kids how to ride. Or, with her new dental work complete, she met and married the great-grandson of Mr. Ed and moved to California. Or, Rubia has supposedly been spotted at many a wedding acting as the getaway horse for the runaway bride. Wherever she is, I'm sure she has reinvented herself since those fateful days with the pale-faced gringo herd who spoke the strange language, all of them reinventing themselves for a time to fit the necessity in front of them. Well, necessity is the mother of invention, after all, and in this case, the necessity was an ailing yet very little sweet little Mexican horse named Rubio.